In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I am glad to be with you today to be able to speak the Word of God. Just remember, as Catherine Kuhlman used to say, as long as God is still on the throne and hears and answers prayer, everything is going to be all right, no matter what you're going through. God is still on the throne, and we have access to the throne of God through the blood of Jesus. We can boldly enter into God's presence through the precious blood of Jesus. Here I am, Lord. I'm your son. I've been ransomed by the blood. Amen. When we looked at Genesis 22, we saw God asking Abraham to do something that was terribly, terribly difficult, to offer his firstborn son to the Lord. That's Isaac. But God showed Abraham that he doesn't want the death of the firstborn. No, there was a ram in the thicket. Even though all others, pagans around Abraham, offered their children, their firstborn, to Moloch, God wants our lives. God wants our obedience. That's what God wants. So we see that even though all the other ites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Chemites, and all the other ites, they were offering their firstborn to their God, to Moloch, but the Lord says, I don't want the blood of your children. The scripture says that God will provide a lamb, and he not only provided a ram, but in Jesus, he provides the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Chapter 23 was the death of Sarah. She was buried in the cave of Machpelah, and we see that Abraham buys this cave. He will not take it for free. He buys it, and he buries his wife Sarah. Now we're looking at the 24th chapter of Genesis. Now Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Not only did he have children, he had flocks, he had cows, he had camels, he had everything. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. There's going to be an oath that's going to be taken. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son from the daughters of the Canaanites whom I dwell with. In other words, I don't want my child, Isaac, to marry any of these pagans. They are not going to be his wife. You cannot make Isaac marry any of these Canaanite women. And the servant said unto him, perhaps the woman will not know them, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. In other words, you have to go back to Ur of Chaldeans and you have to get a wife for my son. That's what you need to do. And the servant said unto Abraham, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I need bring thy son again into the land from whence thou came? Now, this is another story. We've been hearing this. So the servant says, you know, perhaps I can't get a wife for your son. Can I bring Isaac back to Ur of Chaldeans? You know what he's going to say? No, 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 we don't look back. No. No, you go get a woman from the Ur of Chaldeans, but you are not to bring my son Isaac there. We are in another land. God has promised this land to us. And no, you are not to go back with my son. You are to go alone. My son will not go back any place. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. There's nothing back there. There's nothing back there. God promised Isaac and Abraham the new land, and they have the new land. And, you know, it's just a matter of talking, you know, and it's only right that the servant should say, should I take your son? Should I take your son back to the Ur of Chaldeans? And he says, absolutely no. Perhaps venture a woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence you came? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou not bring my son thither again. Don't let my son go back to the place. We're in Canaan. This is a new place. God promised this to us. We are not to go back. You go back, fetch a wife. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, that he swore unto me, saying, Unto your seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from thence. So Abraham has faith that he's going to get a wife for Isaac. But Isaac is not to return to the Ur of Chaldeans. No looking back, you know. The cross before me, the world behind me. No looking back. No looking back. God called us to this land and gave us this land. Do not take my son. Do not take my son to this place again. You go and fetch him a wife. Don't look back. Don't look back. Remember what I said about looking back? There's only regret and sin, and it's all been covered in the blood of Jesus. You can go on today. You can go on today. After you've gone to confession and confessed your sin, you're covered with the blood of Jesus, and you can go on today. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. In other words, you are to do this. You are to find a wife for my son. And if you can't find her, you've done all you could do. But don't bring my son back to the Ur of Chaldeans. We are over with that. That's a chapter that's been closed in our life. And you know what? I'm going to tell you, there are many chapters that have been closed in our lives and are covered with the blood of Jesus. And we have the problem of opening up those chapters. No looking back. God does not judge your future by your past. That is real. If he judged the apostles' future by his past, he would be judging the apostles' future by killing Stephen and killing other Christians. I tell you, God does not judge your future by your past. Can you say that? God does not judge my future by my past. My past is covered with the blood of Jesus. My past is covered with the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my healer. Jesus Christ is my healer. No looking back. No looking back. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water, at that time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. So the woman is the one who drew water after the sun set, so it wouldn't be too hot. So the servant is going to say something to God. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city. And he said, O Lord of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and he shall say, Drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be said by her that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. In other words, what's going to happen? He's saying he's putting a fleece before the Lord. If this is the right woman, let her give me drink, and let her not only give me drink, but give the camels drink. And then I'll know this is the woman that is going to be for Isaac. This is the woman. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and her pitcher was upon her shoulder. Do you remember Jesus said when he wanted to prepare the big room for himself for the Last Supper, you will find a man carrying a water jar. Men don't carry the water, only the women do. So it's something very odd. Women fetch the water. Women fetch the water after sunset. You remember the woman at the well? She came in the middle of the day. Why did she come in the middle of the day? Because everyone knew she had five husbands, and she knew nobody would be there in the middle of the day, and she wouldn't have to put up with people's torment. They're saying, you're no good, you're a dirty old woman. So the woman at the well came right at the time when nobody would be at the well. It was high. The sun was high in the sky. It was hot, and she would be the only one there that would be drawing, and she wasn't going to be able to put up with all the garbage that people would give her. And then it says, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let him down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have done drinking. Ah, there it is. She's the one. Rebecca's the one. Rebecca is the one for Isaac. Oh, yes, she follows all the plans of the servant's prayer, that he drinks the water, and then she offers this camel water. Oh yes, everything is completed to the crossing of every T and the dotting of every I. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again into the well to draw water, and drew it for the camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made this journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands, and 10 shekels weight of gold. So he dresses her with jewelry, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in? Remember that hospitality is the first law of the desert, hospitality. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way of the Lord, led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man to meet him at the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came into the man, and behold, he stood by camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, therefore standest thou without, and I have prepared the house and room for the camels. You see, this is the whole experience of hospitality. That in the Middle East, this hospitality is the first law of the desert. I saw that one day when we were in Israel, and this is what happened. When we stopped to buy something, maybe some drinks and something on the roadside, there was the Arab that he was an Arab Christian that was our guide, and there was a man eating. He was the man that was selling things. The man that was eating got up, and our guide sat down and ate from his bowl. I said, that's real hospitality. Real hospitality. He wasn't worried about germs, you know. But the man was eating that owned this little store. And when our guide gets up and out of the bus, the man gets out of his seat and starts giving our guide his food from his plate and his dish. That's hospitality. That's hospitality. We don't do things like that. We are kind of like a nuclear family. We don't do things like that, unfortunately. But we used to, in the 40s and in the 50s, if you didn't have something, you'd go to the neighbor and you'd borrow it from the neighbor, and there would be no problem with that. You would return it. But that's the way it was. Everybody was in it for everybody else. It was not the nuclear family. It was a whole group of people that loved each other. Oh, yes, and talked with each other. Today, people don't even talk with their neighbors. They don't even know who their neighbors are. Never mind, talk with them. But you see, we had that in the 40s and in the 50s. And we identified with our church. People would say to you, where do you come from? I'd say, Sacred Heart in East Boston. We identified with the church. And I would ask another person, where do you come from? St. Gregory's in Dorchester. Now they don't even know where the church is. I remember we were in Salem, Massachusetts, looking for the Immaculate Conception, and I found some young boys. They were out playing stickball, and I said, where is the Immaculate Conception Church, the Catholic Church? They looked at me and said, I have no idea. It was right down the street. And they had no idea. We in the 40s and the 50s identified ourselves with the church we went to. I am from Sacred Heart in East Boston. And Rebecca had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban read out into the man unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebecca, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me. And he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels of the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? Don't stay outside. For I have prepared the house and the room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he girded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. See, hospitality. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he spake. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly. He has become great, and he has given his flocks and herds. He has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. That's Isaac. And unto him hath he given all that he has. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. and thou shalt take a wife for my son of a kindred of my father's house. This is faith. This is faith. Abraham is the father of faith. I'm telling you, in other words, he's going to say, it's going to work out. God will provide. He'll send his angel, and there will be a woman for my son, and it'll be the right woman. You just need to go there and be open to what God is about to do. That's a very important thing, to be open about what God is about to do. You know, I once prayed with a woman who had cancer of the stomach. And I've said this before, and I started to pray over her and start praying, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out, scour it out. And I was saying that over and over in the name of Jesus. And when she went to have her CAT scan, the doctor says, no cancer, it looks like it's been scoured out. I tell you, anybody else that comes with cancer of the stomach, that is not the way to pray. You have to listen to what God is saying, and you pray the way God tells you to pray. In other words, there's no magic formula. If he told me to pray, scour it out, I'd scour it out. But that's not the way it is. God will show you exactly how he wants you to pray. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way with thy go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, that I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water from thy pitcher to drink. And she says to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw water for your camels. Let the same be the woman whom God hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down the pitcher upon her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. So the servant knew, this is the woman for Isaac. This is the woman for Isaac. And I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare upon him. And I put the earrings upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, God of my master Abraham, which had led me to the right way to take my master's brother's sister unto his son. And now, if ye all deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, and I may turn to the right hand or the left. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeds from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord had spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing down himself to the earth. In other words, he's thankful for the answered prayer. He's thankful for the answered prayer. And he realizes that this is from God, and he worships God. And how does he usually worship God? By bowing down, and also I'm sure he sacrificed something. And the servant brought forth jewels and silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and her mother's precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him had tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. We're not waiting 10 days. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed prosper. possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw and beheld the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walks in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered her face. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. We see God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. And we see that Abraham had a plan that he was going to have a wife from his own kindred, that they would not take any of the Canaanites, any of the pagan women. No, God had put that in his heart, and God knows how to hear and answer prayer. Let me tell you this. I don't know what you're praying for, but I'm going to tell you, if God has given you an image of what you need, he will give it to you. He will give it to you. He knows how to give it to you. He's God Almighty. Just trust him. Trust him. You see, Isaac trusted in God, and the servant trusted in God, and it all worked out. God knows how to make things work out, but don't you try to make them work out. Don't spoil the plan of God. Give God the liberty to do it the way he wants to do it. And I say that in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.